My friends at MyPillow, my buddy Mike Lindell, told me he was coming out with a brand new product. It's called the new mattress topper. So I got the new mattress topper immediately, and I've been sleeping on it now for a couple of months. It's the best thing you've ever felt in your life. Now, you literally have MyPillow foam for support. It's a transitional foam that helps relieve pressure points, and it's ultra-soft, patented temperature-regulating cover. And I got to tell you, it has a 10-year warranty, a cover that's washable and dryable. It's made in the USA, backed by their 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Once you try this new mattress topper, you put it right over your mattress, you will never sleep better. And right now, you, my radio listeners, you're going to save 30% off when you go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code TOPPER. And by the way, Mike will also give you two standard MyPillows absolutely free. All right, so try MyPillow.com, promo code TOPPER, promo code TOPPER for this great deal and the best night's sleep you ever had. Hey, it's that time of year for those of you, God forbid, you got to keep your New Year's resolution. What if you're a timeshare owner and you want to get out of your timeshare? Maybe that's at the top of your list, or maybe you made a bad investment over the years. It doesn't matter. Let not your heart be troubled, because the new year is also a reminder that you can get serious about getting rid of this timeshare and doing it right and doing it legally. And Lone Star Transfer is absolutely an amazing group of people. From beginning to end, I highly recommend, if you have any type of timeshare, I want you to contact Lone Star and tell them I told you to call. They'll give you a free, no obligation consultation, and they'll help get you out of your timeshare. They'll do it the right way, the legal way, and it will take very little effort on your part, just by calling #250 on your mobile phone and saying the keyword timeshare. That's #250 on your cell phone, keyword timeshare. You can check them out online at LoneStarTransfer.com.
You have the option to receive a one-time auto-dialed text message from iHeartMedia.
All right, happy Monday, and what a news day this is. Glad you are with us. Write down our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. It's 800-941-SHAWN if you want to be a part of this. Hannity Watch, Advancing Socialism. You won't believe what Gavin Newsom and comrade Bill de Blasio in New York are doing and offering on top of the free health care for anybody either in New York City or in the state of California. I guess, I mean, if you don't have health insurance, Gavin Newsom's pretty much saying, because he'll give it to anybody. Illegal, legal, doesn't matter. I guess he's saying, putting a big sign out, come to California for free health care. We'll get to the Democrats partying in Puerto Rico. As the president's at the White House dying to make a deal, they refuse to negotiate, but they're having a good time in Puerto Rico. Wasn't that fun for them? We'll get to that today. I've got to start with what we have now covered for a solid 18 months, that the news media in this country refuses to acknowledge. There is more evidence that Hillary Clinton colluded with Russians, and nobody seems to care, although they're acting like they really care, if there was Trump-Russia collusion. The article by the New York Times on Friday, where we now discovered, because of testimony, Congressman Ratcliffe, it was James Baker of the FBI, testifying that in May of 2017, in the aftermath of the firing, obviously justified, of James Comey, that Donald Trump, your president, was serving as a covert Russian agent. Their source, anonymous. They don't have a source. What they have, what you have, you know, remember what I said at the beginning of this year, is we've got everybody in the media aligned and hating Donald Trump every second, every minute, every hour of every day. I've never seen it this bad. There is a real, real danger in terms of the abuse of power, the corruption that has gone on here, that they ignore, that they keep trying to take to another level every single day and create an atmosphere where you think impeachment is right around the corner. But the bottom line is, they had no evidence. You read the article. No reasonable suspicion at all, no probable cause, but you've got people in power. You know, I always hated, and I even said this on air, I like Joe DiGenova a lot. He's a really smart, bright, ethical human being. And he always used the term dirty cops. And instinctively, when he'd say that, I'd kind of recoil because I don't like the term. Because it's the antithesis of my knowledge of law enforcement. And that's the 99 other percent. We're talking about like the top echelon, not rank and file FBI, not all the people in the DOJ, top ranking DOJ officials. You know, some 25 now have either been fired or they have had they've been demoted or they've left. I think we're up to like 30 now. And so now you got to go back to the beginning. That's the only way you can really understand this story. What you have is people that we now have proven hate and hated at the time, Donald Trump. They never wanted Donald Trump to become president. So they begin an investigation. We have an Espionage Act. You're not allowed to put top secret classified special access programming information on anything outside of your government server and government computer. Hillary Clinton didn't want to abide by those rules. And in fact, she had an outside server with classified, top secret, special access programming information on a mom and pop shop server in a bathroom closet. That at the time, even James Comey in his original exoneration draft, you know, they suspected at least 6 foreign intelligence services had hacked into her server. Now, my guess would be Russia, China, North Korea, Iran, who else? I don't know. But you can't have a Secretary of State putting classified information. All right, a clear, unambiguous, slam dunk violation of law. Then it gets worse. Then we find out that Hillary Clinton, well, she gets subpoenaed on her email and her server, and they come up with the brilliant idea. By the way, I don't recommend this, that you do this at home. If you're ever subpoenaed, I don't recommend you do what she did. One day I suggested, if you do it, it's a bad idea, but if you do it, everyone said, Hannity's trying to obstruct. No, I said, it's not going to end well for you. I actually used those words. But if you have subpoenaed emails, 33,000 of them, and you delete them, and then you end up acid washing your hard drive. Nobody knew what bleach bit was, but now we all know what it is because it wipes your server clean so that you can't retrieve forensically all of those emails that usually are hidden somewhere in the hard drive, even though you think you deleted them, they're still there. And then an aide busting with hammers, iPhones and Blackberries and other devices, and ripping out the SIM cards so that it renders the information totally useless on those devices. That's called, if you did it, if anyone in this audience, that's called obstruction of justice. So then it gets worse. They write an exoneration of Hillary Clinton in May of 2016. They exonerate her. They didn't interview her till the July 2nd. Of 2016, but the exoneration was being written by two of the biggest Trump haters in the country, we now know, James Comey and Peter Strzok, the lead investigator who interviewed Hillary Clinton. Peter Strzok and another FBI agent. So 3 days later, because the exoneration had already been in place, James Comey comes out, does his big press conference, 13 minutes, and I said, holy blank, they got her. They're going to do it. They're going to follow the law. And then he goes, after he basically lays out every crime she committed, but no real prosecutor would ever do this. Okay, no, not if you're biased like Peter Strzok and you think Hillary should win 100 million to zero, sure. Or if you're James Comey and you hate Trump. All right, I lay that down as the foundation. Now, with all the talk about Russia, we have chronicled, we have broken down every single day, every bit of evidence, we have real evidence. Hillary Clinton funneled money with the DNC to a law firm called Perkins Coie. Perkins Coie, by the way, that's kind of like a campaign finance violation, which they say Trump committed, but it's not. But in her case, it actually was, because it shows up as a legal expense and it was anything. But anyway, they then hire Fusion GPS. Okay, op research group. This is what they do. They dig for dirt on opposition candidates. No problem. That's what everybody does. And it's a dirty business. Then they hire a foreign agent, former MI6 agent Christopher Steele. Christopher Steele then uses all his Russian contacts, creates a group of documents. Those documents then become known as the dossier. Okay, then the dossier, put together, paid for by Clinton, is also, first, it's disseminated to the American people. The American people are fed a bunch of Russian lies by Hillary that she bought and paid for. Now, I thought Russian collusion mattered. I wonder how many people heard about the hookers peeing in a bed in Moscow at the Ritz-Carlton that maybe thought, maybe I can't vote for that guy. Because the story was out there. We now later learned that it was even leaked by our own intelligence people. But put that aside for a minute. Then the unverified, uncorroborated Clinton bought and paid for dossier then is used to get a FISA warrant against the Trump campaign associate named Carter Page. Now, the bulk of the information, which we haven't seen yet, which we need to see, is the phony, unverified, uncorroborated Clinton bought and paid for dossier. Now, this is all leading up to something. So they never cared about any of this. All the collusion you could ever want with all the evidence you'd ever need. So for the period, we now discovered that right after they exonerated Hillary Clinton in July, the same people that protected her from indictment then launched the Russia investigation into Trump. And that went on from July up until May, up until the firing of Comey. We have testimony from Lisa Page, Peter Strzok, Andrew McCabe, and Comey himself that by the time Comey was fired, they all told us they had no evidence whatsoever of any Trump collusion. So then Comey gets fired, May of 2017. Then the FBI has this meeting. He was fired on May 9th, 2017. Then the deep state, again, upper echelon, not rank and file. It's very important to me because I like rank and file FBI guys. Then they decide they're mad. Then they want retribution. Remember, they've been investigating this collusion issue for all this time and have nothing. So according to testimony from James Baker, Congressman Ratcliffe, confirming that this all is true, they decide, they attempt it on their own. Well, maybe we've got to factor in that, in fact, Donald Trump was colluding with Russia, even though they'd been investigating it. So I go back with no evidence whatsoever, according to James Baker of the FBI, another one gone, then FBI general counsel, and said that after they fired Comey, they were so angry in the aftermath that about six senior FBI officials huddled together, set in motion what is a momentous move to open an investigation into Donald Trump that included trying to understand why he wanted to have good relations with Russia. And they debated a range of possibilities, according to the partial transcripts, two FBI officials. On one end, the idea that Trump fired Comey at the behest of Russia. This is made up of whole cloth. No evidence, no reasonable suspicion, no probable cause. Remember that. And Baker then said the FBI officials were contemplating with regard to Russia whether Trump was, quote, acting at the behest or somehow following their directions. This is how nuts this has gotten. So based on no evidence, you know, you basically has, as John Dowd, former Trump attorney, said, a de facto coup attempt against a duly elected president. But as staggering as that revelation is, I'm not surprised. How can you be surprised? It's all the same people. And nothing is yet happened. Phony FISA warrants, the bought and paid for dossier nobody does a thing about, the illegal surveillance unmasking and leaking of raw intelligence that has happened, exoneration without investigation. Look at the setup of General Michael Flynn, a three-star. You know, the Trump-hating lovebirds at the center of all of this. The rampant destruction of evidence by everybody from Hillary to Robert Mueller getting rid of both Strzok and Page's phones. And that's the short list. And I am telling you, if you love this country, if we don't get this resolved properly and they're able to succeed, goodbye. It's over. It's done. No justice. No equal justice under the law. No equal application of the laws. No constitution, which is the foundation of our democratic republic. You think I'm overstating the case? I'm not. Hey, if you're one of 34 million Americans that smokes, you know what a hassle it can be. For me, I'm out playing golf and I come back smelling like cigars. It's the smell on your hands and your breath, your clothes. But now, thanks to Juul, you don't have to worry about it anymore. Juul is a vaporizer. It does contain nicotine for a satisfying transition. Now, when I found Juul, it was a complete game changer in my life. I don't smoke any cigars any longer, and Juul was designed by smokers for smokers to be an alternative to whatever it is you're smoking. So if you're one of 34 million adults who do smoke cigars, cigarettes, pipe, whatever, well, there is an alternative to all of them. Now, to discover the smoking alternative that's like nothing you've ever tried, just visit juul.com/switchamerica. That's juul.com/switchamerica. Now, warning, this product does contain nicotine, and nicotine is addictive. How is it possible that this is where we now find ourselves? How is it possible that people in these high levels of power can use the powerful tools of intelligence to attack even a three-star general? You know, none of that would have happened with General Flynn had they practiced, if they didn't surveil him, which, by the way, is okay. He's talking to a soon-to-be counterpart. But then James Comey, of course, bragging. I wouldn't have done this in any other administration. But there was so much chaos. It was day four of the Trump administration. Wouldn't dare do this to the Bush or Obama administrations. Really bragging about what you did to set up a three-star general, having your deputy call over and say, oh, you don't need a lawyer, having the full transcript, and then using that transcript as, you know every word that he says. You tell him, don't get a lawyer. You know, so Comey gets fired. This all gets written by the New York Times. This all now gets put out there as if this is all true. And none of it is true, and none of it has any evidence, substantiation of any kind. There's not even probable cause or suspicion in any of this. Phony FISA warrants, bought and paid for dossiers, exonerations from real crimes, one favored candidate over another. You know, then you go after the good guys. Unbelievable. You know, I recently heard that almost half of Americans make New Year's resolutions every year. One of the most important promises you can make in this dangerous world is protect your home and family. And that's why my friends at Simply Safe Home Security, they make it easier with their 24-hour, 7 days a week home security. No contracts, no catches, and they believe the safest place on earth needs to be your own home so you feel protected every time you shut your door, leave for work, shut your eyes at night. There are millions now of Americans that already feel this way thanks to Simply Safe. And by the way, PC Magazine named Simply Safe both Editor's Choice and Reader's Choice for 2018. In 2019, it's a great time to ask yourself, do I feel 100% protected in this home that I've worked so hard for? And if you're thinking, well, this is the year to change it. So protect your home and family today at simplysafe.com/Sean. Simplysafe.com/Sean to protect your home and family. There's no time like the present. Simplysafe.com/Sean. You know, I love how these organizations like the Washington Post, I mean, abusively biased as they are, I mean, this really is a Trump-hating media. The forces against this president are everything I've told you. The media hates Trump. I mean, it's print, it's broadcast, it's cable, it's every second of every day. What are they ever going to do without Donald Trump? What will they ever report on that? Anyway, so there's a ABC Washington Post poll suggesting that a majority, well, shows that a majority of Americans now support President Trump's decision to keep the government shut down until he gets funding for the wall. Now, if you read the poll, it's confusing. Why is it confusing? Because you get different answers depending on the way the question is asked. For example, when this sample of adults, and I didn't even dig down into how many more Democrats than Republicans, that's just kind of par for the course usually. Do you support or oppose building a wall along the U.S. border with Mexico? Now, they say 54% said no and 42% said yes. But the poll also asked, do you think Trump should continue to demand funding for the border wall if it extends the government shutdown, or should he compromise on this to the end of the shutdown? 54% said yes, Trump should keep the government shut down and demand the 0.001% of funding for the border wall. Next to nothing. That all the Democrats supported in all the years gone by. I mean, it's amazing how they train. By the way, a new caravan is forming in Honduras, if you haven't heard. And it's apparently bigger than the last one, so we're told. That's, we'll watch and monitor that as needed. Let me give you an example. Let me go give an example here of, you know, if we want to talk about Russia, I just described Hillary Clinton and Russia. Hillary Clinton pays for Russian lies that are propagated, you know, basically propaganda given to the American people on the eve of an election. A lot of people heard about those lies before the election, didn't they? Heard about the Russian hookers in the Moscow, Ritz-Carlton and Trump. All of this debunked. If you read the stupid dossier, it's like you'll laugh at it. It's so absurd. Just like you should laugh at, although it's really not funny. The FBI gets angry at the... Remember Chuck Schumer said, you better not mess with the deep state, the intel community. If you do, they're going to get you six ways and Sunday. Well, this whole anonymous New York Times piece corroborates, I hate to say it, that Schumer's right. You know, how dare Don... You know what it is? He's a threat to the entire establishment. And that means Republicans, Democrats, media. The media is never going to recover from fake news. I can promise you that. They, no matter what they do, people are now hip and get that these people lie and that they have agendas. And you can see it because it's, yeah, we saw it last week. Remember, manufactured crisis. That was Chuck and Nancy, the Chuck and Nancy show, Saturday Night Live skit. It was hilarious. Funniest thing I've ever looked like. I've seen better hostage videos than that one. I mean, they're up there standing, miserable. They both use the manufactured crisis. Then everybody in the media, manufactured crisis, manufactured. I mean, you're dealing with people that are literally tied at the hip. But they're all working every second, minute, hour of the day. Democrats are doing it. Media is doing it. They're an extension of the Democratic Party. This story of this attempt by the FBI, they didn't like the firing of Comey, so now they're going to set up Donald Trump and start, you know, well, hang on a second. We've got to look into the fact that, you know, maybe with regard to Russia, we now need to investigate Trump. Now, the president had every reason we now know, more than we knew then. He didn't need a justification. James Comey even acknowledged he didn't need a justification to fire him. But based on no evidence, senior FBI officials plotting a de facto, as John Dowd called it, coup against a duly elected president that they, meaning these very same deep state operatives, all worked towards helping Hillary get elected. They're the ones that exonerated her for obvious crimes. Hannity, why are you talking about Hillary? Because if we don't have the same standard of justice for her, or we have a separate standard of justice for her and a different one for everyone else, You just might as well, you know, shred the Constitution. Exactly. Phony FISA warrants based on a phony bought and paid for Russian dossier. Bogus dossier. Unmasking at a level unprecedented in 2016 of American citizens. That shouldn't happen. Surveillance, unmasking, leaking intelligence shouldn't happen. You don't write exonerations before investigations. You don't tell a three-star general, oh, you don't need a lawyer. Oh, and by the way, we got obtained this information illegally, and we're going to now use it and create a perjury trap for General Flynn. You know, and by the way, then we're going to have Robert Mueller just, oh, we erased. Once we found out Strzok and Page were extremely biased and up to their eyeballs in all of this, and then originally part of Mueller's team, then we were just going to erase their phones and get rid of all of that. Remember that Michael Horowitz was able to obtain some of the text messages, not all of them. Then we're going to go into Paul Manafort's home and at dawn with guns drawn and put his, you know, put him under arrest when he would have willingly surrendered. Then we'll throw him in isolation for months and months and months. We don't do that to drug dealers. We don't do that to murderers, but we'll do it to Paul Manafort because what? He cheated on his taxes. Dumb move. Granted. What else? Nothing with Russia. You know, Papadopoulos lying. You know, these are process crimes that they set up. And then they say, well, there's 33 indictments. Okay, but most of them are Russian agents that are never coming to America to get justice. So they get all pissed off that Comey's fired and they have this meeting. But of course, anonymously. You know, and then it's like, okay, well, now we got every state now looking into getting Donald Trump. There was, I guess it was Elijah Cummings on 60 Minutes. Like, he's going to use every bit of power that he has nonstop investigations. And I told you all of this is going to happen before the election. I said they're not telling you their true agenda. They want to impeach the president. Endless investigations. They want their crumbs back. They want to open borders, eliminate ICE, but they're not going to tell you. And they didn't. You know, it's getting a little scary at this point. Because they're serious. And they want to take down a sitting president. You know, Democratic investigators, you know, secretly tapped into millions of emails, financial records and other documents of conservatives, you know, targeting and subjecting people. You know, they couldn't say anything about the John Doe for years. Remember that particular case? The Wisconsin Supreme Court finding that it was truly a sinister, illegal conduct perpetrated by nonpartisan government agencies. You know, the Democratic prosecutors getting away with in Wisconsin. Remember what happened to Ted Stevens after his life was ruined? Abuse of power like this does happen. You know, I can think of no example remotely similar to the abuse that we have now uncovered in this case, the abuse of power and corruption. I just can't. Mark Penn had a really good piece out as well. And he's saying the same thing. Hillary Clinton, we know, did all of these things. Nobody's investigating her that we know of. You know, there was an article in MSN.com. Trump confronts the prospect of a nonstop political war for survival. That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it's been, and that's exactly what it's going to remain. This is now an effort. They have tried now from the beginning to take down a sitting president because they wanted and clearly advocated for and tried to help the other candidate. And the dual standard of justice is so obvious and transparent if you just look for it. None of these bureaucrats are elected. They all sit in a room. They didn't like that their friend was fired. So they just decide, well, maybe we should investigate the president of the United States for treason, of all things. Treason. And then I go back. There's no evidence, no reasonable suspicion, no probable cause. You know, no one is, you know, they don't report to anybody. 97% of campaign contributions, you know, the bureaucratic deep state gave to Hillary. You know, they're bureaucrats who ignored the Clinton Foundation scandal. I want to talk about Russia collusion? What about the Uranium One deal? Here you have known Russian operatives in America. How do we know? Because we have, what's his name? William Douglas Campbell. He's inside Putin's network. He's reporting back to his superiors, blackmail, extortion, money laundering, all of these crimes by Putin's thugs inside of America. Their goal is to get a foothold in the Uranium One industry. Uranium, the foundational material for nuclear weapons. They get it. They get the deal done. The people involved in the deal kick back $145 million to the Clinton Foundation, and she was one of just a group of people that had to sign off on this. They ignore that. They minimize the investigation into the emails, the obstruction of justice, you know, collecting money from, you know, why didn't anyone on the liberal side, why weren't they upset she took all this money from countries that abuse women regularly and that kill gays and lesbians as part of Sharia law and that persecute Christians and Jews? They bought her silence. I never heard her criticize those countries that donated lavishly to the Clinton Foundation. So, you know, they have all this information. John Dowd literally saying that this is a coup, attempted coup. Now, the interesting thing that I didn't point out, too, is they had investigated this since the day, almost the day after they exonerated Hillary. And Comey, Strzok, Page, and McCabe are all on record saying they found nothing. Zero. As it relates to Mark Penn, the FBI Trump-Russia investigation shows the deep state was worse than what we ever thought. I guess no one in the... He goes on to say, let's review the actions of the FBI director. Many of the actions were clear at the time, others we only know now. What we've learned since underscores that the president's firing of Comey was more than justified. The actions of Comey's staff and the DOJ to trigger the most extensive investigation in history of a campaign, an administration, and a president appear to be wholly without justification, based instead on politically inspired emotion and hysteria. And Comey initiated his relations with Trump by holding a one-on-one meeting at which he detailed allegations of the Steele dossier. Remember, he signed off on the dossier in October of 2016 and tells Trump, or President-elect Trump at the time in January of 2017, that it's unverified and it's salacious. That's but he already signed off on using it to obtain a FISA warrant. Comey's congressional testimony, he took it upon himself to clear Hillary Clinton, bypassing Loretta Lynch, who herself was compromised after meeting with Bill Clinton on the tarmac, you know, somewhere in Arizona for 45 minutes talking about their grandkids. I mean, it's unbelievable. These are, you know, oh, and Trump has concealed details of his face-to-face encounters with Putin, and he took the interpreter's notes. Interesting, Jonathan Carl of ABC says his sources close to Mueller say the Mueller report is certain to be anticlimactic. I don't trust anybody's report in the media. Sounds like they're lowering expectations. And based on the hirings of Mueller, I'm sorry, I don't buy any of it. How's the country going to move forward when this is the, you know, what we have? And by the way, while the fake news media was wringing its hands over an anonymous report in the New York Times by people that hate Trump, where are the Democrats? 30 of them. They left the government shutdown on a chartered airplane to Puerto Rico for their winter retreat with 109 lobbyists and corporate executives, during which they plan to see the hit Broadway show Hamilton and attend three parties, including one with the show's cast. Isn't that nice? By the way, federal workers enjoy pay and benefits that are unheard of in the private sector. And they're all going to get their money. And I want them. I think they deserve it. They're kind of victims in this. All right, when we come back, Greg Jarrett, John Solomon, Bill O'Reilly all checking in. Then we have our Hannity watch and the advancement of socialism. They're going to be taxing water out in California on top of your 13.5% income tax. Now New York City joining California, free health care, legal, illegal, doesn't matter. Then you got Comrade de Blasio literally saying there's plenty of money in New York. It's just in the wrong hands. And all we have to do is redistribute the money. Why don't we just confiscate the wealth of everybody and live in that great socialist utopia, which apparently represents the new found Democratic radical leftist hate Trump party.
White House now, and it's hard to imagine two FBI agents ending up in the same room. How did that happen?
I sent them. Something I probably wouldn't have done or maybe gotten away with in a more organized investigation, a more organized administration. I thought it's early enough. Let's just send a couple guys over.
I'm here under oath. I am not lying. I have never lied under oath, and I never will. And so the insinuation, not even the insinuation, the direct comment that you somehow say you have an integrity issue is insulting. I take offense. It is incorrect. Nothing I have
said here
today. I never
mentioned your personal life. I just simply said the amount of time that you were spending on the taxpayer's dollar, wasting it when you were supposed to be doing your job, texting back and forth to the court, is a problem.
And the gentleman
has already answered that.
The rule of law is indispensable to a thriving and vibrant society. It shields citizens from government overreaching and arbitrary action. It allows businesses to enter into contracts and invest with confidence. It gives innovators protection for their discoveries. It keeps people safe from dangerous criminals. And it allows us to resolve our differences peacefully through reason and logic. Lawyers are obligated to speak up for the truth. John Adams famously observed that facts are stubborn things, and whatever may be our wishes, our inclinations, or the dictates of our passion, they cannot alter the state of the facts and the evidence. Pursuing truth means always yielding to the facts, even if they run counter to our hopes. In a courtroom, truth is about credible evidence, not strong opinions.
Now, there's a lot of talk about FISA applications, and many people that I see talking about it seem not to recognize what a FISA application is. A FISA application is actually a warrant, just like a search warrant. In order to get a FISA search warrant, you need an affidavit signed by a career federal law enforcement officer who swears that the information in the affidavit is true and correct to the best of his knowledge and belief. And that's the way we operate. And if it's wrong, sometimes it is, if you find out there's anything incorrect in there, that person is going to face consequences.
That last quote is my favorite. Rod Rosenstein, an affidavit and career law enforcement, and he signed his name to a FISA warrant, the last FISA warrant, with the bulk of information coming from, an unverified and uncorroborated and since mostly debunked dossier. Oh, does that apply to him? We got a new story out of the Hill today. It's pretty blockbuster. Rod Rosenstein, the DOJ, exploring ways to make to more easily spy on journalists. Gee, I guess they're upset with some of Greg Jarrett and John Solomon's coverage. John Solomon from The Hill, Greg Jarrett, Fox News legal analyst, author of the bestseller, The Russia Hoax. So we've got that story on Rod Rosenstein. We got another Hill report. A former official says New York Times report shows FBI employees working outside of Department of Justice guidelines. This is not what their role is. But, you know, what do rules matter? And another article, an ex-FBI official says it's not the Bureau's role to probe foreign policy in the wake of Trump reports. And Greg Jarrett has a blockbuster column that has now gone viral, an FBI report that is corrupt and dishonest. Welcome both of you to the program. Look, I've given my take the last hour. There's a lot of information here. But this really, to me, is everything we said and more, Greg. The biggest abuse of power corruption scandal ever in American history. And the media, hook, line, and sinker, goes with phony reports.
It's one of the greatest dirty tricks perpetrated in modern American politics. An egregious abuse of power by top officials at the FBI to try to portray Donald Trump and investigate him for being a Russian agent. As I point out in my column, it's not only ludicrous on its face, but factually, they had no evidence. They had no reasonable suspicion. They had no probable cause. And in fact, at the time that Comey was fired. Andrew McCabe, who became his replacement as acting director, testified nobody had interfered in the Trump-Russia collusion investigation. That was followed by Rosenstein days later, who said nobody has interfered. Comey himself, just before, days before he was fired, said nobody has sought to obstruct our investigation. And so what the FBI did was they were angry at Trump. They were angry that he had fired one of their own, James Comey, even though it was for just cause. And so they sought retribution, vengeance.
So go to James Baker's testimony, which became the source of all of this, where James Baker, again, another guy gone from the FBI, and James Baker saying they actually, after the firing of Comey, sat around and said, well, maybe Trump is in bed with Putin.
Right.
But we know, if we look at the timeline, that Lisa Page, James Comey, Peter Strzok, and McCabe all had said the opposite.
That's right. I mean, you know, it's one thing to sit around in a room saying, gee, I wonder if he's a Russian agent. It's another thing to officially use your prerogative and powers as the chief law enforcement agency to launch a counterintelligence investigation of the president of the United States without a scintilla of evidence or justification for it. There's a statute, it's a felony. Deprivation of rights under color of law. It's abuse of power. It is also obstruction of justice. You're not allowed to use your position of power to misuse our system of justice. That's obstruction of justice. All of these people, when William Barr takes office as the attorney general, all of the evidence of what these people did should be presented to federal prosecutors and, if appropriate, a grand jury, so that legal action, they should be held accountable for their conduct.
So far, John Solomon, none of that has happened. And by that, yeah, we can go back to the exoneration of Hillary in spite of overwhelming evidence of obstruction, overwhelming evidence she violated the Espionage Act, biased FBI agents that thought she should win $100 million to $0, then paying for the dossier, Russian information leaked to the American public before the election. And then, of course, the bulk of information, unverified, uncorroborated Russian lies used to get warrants to spy on a Trump campaign associate, which, again, nothing has happened.
Well, you have to. You're exactly right. There's a few people that have lost their jobs, but that's it. And no one has been brought to justice fully yet. And I think that will fall upon the new Attorney General, Bill Barr, when he gets confirmed. But, I think Greg hit it on the head. What we saw this past weekend. So we've chronicled for a year and a half, absolute proof that political bias, political opposition research was misused by the FBI to launch an investigation to try to undo a duly elected president. That's now been written in stone. It's factually supported. Greg just did a great job of describing what the Bureau did when they fired James Comey. The Bureau acted like a jilted lover in a bad breakup, and it tried to lash out and strike out against President Trump, who's supposed to be their boss. They're treating him like a rival. And they, you know, it's different when you're in a relationship and you post a selfie or something embarrassing of your ex-girlfriend or your ex-boyfriend. But here they were using the most awesome powers of the United States government, a counterintelligence investigation, to try to wound the president without a factual basis, without a predicate, without any evidence, and most importantly, don't take our words for it. Bob Mueller's former director of intelligence, when he was FBI director, a guy named Kevin Brock, one of the most respected FBI executives in the past, came on our show today and he said the following things. This was a rogue, biased, outside the bounds, outside the rules investigation. It makes me ashamed as a former FBI bureau man to see what they did during this period. They were acting like children. And I think that's an extraordinary indictment by someone who worked on the inside, who worked for Robert Mueller, who was the very first intelligence guy.
But they got this far.
They did.
And then what do you make then of the report on Friday in the New York Times?
Well, I think that the report on Friday is part of that retaliation, right? But first they were talking about maybe we'll wear a wire and take him out under the 25th Amendment. Then maybe we'll look at him for obstruction of justice. And where do they end up?
Well, maybe we'll wear a wire, too. That was part of
yeah.
it.
It is. It's all just retaliatory behavior without a factual predicate, without the evidence that the FBI is supposed to do. This is exactly how the FBI was supposed to be reformed after J. Edgar Hoover, so it wouldn't do these things when tempted, when emotional, when politics became more important than common sense. And yet a small group of FBI leaders allowed all these things to happen in violation of their own rules and in violation of the standards that every FBI agent who raises their hand and swears the oath vowed to uphold. And I think it's really shameful. The New York Times article is the ultimate example of that retaliation that Greg was talking about.
You know, Greg, I actually think Trump was facing a coup, is the line that Dowd, the president's former attorney, made on Brian Kilmeade's show, which I thought was interesting, because at the end of the day, they have used every imaginable thing that they can to try and frame this president on Russia collusion charges that don't exist. But the media runs with everything as if it's fact, as if, you know, if you believe the media, you would believe today that Donald Trump colluded with Putin.
Yeah, absolutely. In the epilogue of my book, I recount time and time again, by name, all the journalists who pronounced the president guilty of collusion without ever defining what that thing is, collusion. They thought if they simply asserted it, it was a word that would connote a crime, even though it is no crime. There would have to be a conspiracy to commit another crime. Now, what is that? Is it conspiracy to defraud the government? No, there's no evidence of that. They have no factual basis to assert that. And yet, you know, they've convicted the president in the court of public opinion. They do it every day. I watched this morning on CNN. My God, you know, they all but pronounced Trump a Russian agent. They just assume it is true. And all it does is discredit themselves and undermine their credibility.
We'll take a quick break. More with Greg Jarrett and John Solomon on the other side. 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. All right, so I didn't think my friends at MyPillow would ever be able to outdo themselves. Now, they've created the MyPillow mattress topper. And what you do is you put it on top of your mattress. And it's like you're floating on air. And yes, it helps you sleep better. It is the greatest invention I've ever had on top of MyPillow itself. Now, it has three-layer design. One is MyPillow foam for their support, transitional foam to help relieve pressure points, and also the ultra-soft patented temperature-regulating cover. You lay on this, and you're like, wow, I don't want to move. I want to sleep. Anyway, it comes with a 10-year warranty. You're going to love MyPillow's topper. It comes with a 10-year warranty. It's washable, dryable, made in the USA, backed by Mike's 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee. And right now, because you listen to this show, you're going to save 30%. It's going to change your life. Just use the promo code Hannity when you go to MyPillow.com. You save 30%. Call 800-919-6090. Now, Mike is also going to throw in two standard MyPillows absolutely free. Now, when you add the mattress topper to the pillows, it's heaven. MyPillow.com, 800-919-6090, promo code Hannity.
Fighting the Trump-hating liberal media one day at a time. This is the Sean Hannity Show.
Right, as we continue, Greg Jarrett, John Solomon are with us. You know, John, I want to get into this article that I don't think anyone's paying attention to, because Rod Rosenstein swears he never wanted to wear a wire against Trump. He's been in charge of the Mueller investigation pretty much from the get-go because of the recusal of Jeff Sessions.
Yeah, I'm not sure that he's sworn that, because we never got a chance to get him before Congress and really get an answer from him. And he has waffled on that issue.
About wearing a wire.
We don't know. We really don't know what part he played in those conversations. We know what Baker described hearing from his FBI officials who attended the meeting, but we really don't know. And it was a shame at the end of the Republican-controlled House that they didn't get him before Congress and get testimony under oath that would really help.
The amazing thing is, in the 9 months they were investigating Russia collusion after they exonerated Hillary and by the people, same people that thought she should win 100 million to zero, they still didn't have, according to four people, any evidence. But then they had this meeting, according to James Baker. But Rosenstein, according to a report from The Hill, where you work, him and the DOJ are exploring ways to more easily spy on journalists. Now, I would think that's you, that's Greg, that's Sarah, and probably me. I'm just guessing.
Well, that is my report, actually. That's my column. And I confirmed this over the weekend that there is a plan. Rod Rosenstein is considering leaving in the next few weeks. And as he's headed out the door, this may be one of his parting gifts. And it's a change to the longstanding rules that protect a journalist from unnecessary subpoena, unnecessary search and seizure. I had my own personal run-in with Robert Mueller when he was FBI director. He took both my phone records and my mail without proper warrant or without proper procedure. They ultimately apologized. So I saw the FBI, when it had rules in place, the current rules in place, blow
past. What case was that involving?
That was back in 2002, in 2003, when I was working on Bob Torricelli, a senator who was under investigation for corruption. And then the early 9/11 failures of the FBI. And the FBI actually took a piece
by
of
the
my
way,
mail.
They yeah. did. They took it. This has happened to others. James Rosen, yeah. fellow Fox.
Rosen, both.
By the way, also yeah. Cheryl Atkinson over at, I guess she works now for Sinclair. She was working at CBS at the time.
That's right.
You know, so this is not unprecedented. So,
it's not, but lowering that threshold would be unprecedented, and it would be very dangerous to the First Amendment and to reporters, because if you take away those prohibitions and those few procedures that are designed to protect people like you, me and Greg and Cheryl and James, you now have given it a free-for-all. And you know what's interesting about Rod Rosenstein and all of these conversations we just had, he was supposed to be the adult in the room, the last person to say, hey, stop, this isn't the right thing, fellas, we shouldn't open investigation without evidence, we shouldn't be talking about wearing a wire, we shouldn't be loosening the barriers for going down, I should have read that FISA warrant more closely before I signed it. And yet, time and again, he's sort of the enabler to a rogue FBI, and I think that one of his legacies, when we see all of this laid out in paper, when all of the evidence is finally put out there that validates everything Greg had in his book, and what I've done in my columns, Rod Rosenstein will be that character who kept letting bad actors blow past the rules and the requirements. And I think that's going to be his legacy at the Justice Department.
I'd like to see, you know, this is what people ask me. You pointed out for 18 months all these horrible crimes. And we've exposed, and again, not rank and file FBI, but the upper echelon, right, FBI, right. DOJ. When are they ever held accountable? All right, we're going to let you guys go here. Thank you both for being with us. 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. Among our top stories, among immigration, among the government shutdown, which has now entered day 24, we have, I think, probably the biggest corruption abuse of power scandal in American history. We've gone through this in great detail. Exoneration of Hillary Clinton before an investigation. We know she violated the Espionage Act with the server in a mom and pop shop bathroom closet. We know that if any of you listening to this program ever dared, had subpoenaed emails and you erased them and you then acid washed your hard drive with bleach bits so nobody could get them or retrieve them, if you had an aide busting up your iPhones and Blackberries with hammers, that would be called obstruction of justice. All of that was put to the side by the very people that exonerated Hillary, writing an exoneration of May before they even interviewed her or 17 other people in July of 2016. Then, of course, there's the whole phony Russian dossier with funneled money through a law firm to an op research firm, hiring a foreign national that was then leaked all over the media to influence the outcome of the 2016 election, and none of that information was ever verified, ever, or corroborated. But then that became the basis of not one, but four FISA applications to spy on a Trump campaign associate. None of that matters to your media. But the New York Times, anonymous sourcing over the weekend, basically trying to make the suggestion, without any evidence or any proof, that President Trump sold out his country to Vladimir Putin. Now, it's beyond outrageous. It's beyond contemptible. It's actually dangerous when you have people in this high echelon of power, not rank and file FBI guys, but the deputy FBI director, the FBI director, people like Page and Strzok and McCabe and Comey, all working with people like Bruce Ohr and others. And what do you see? That they've been out to get Donald Trump, having internal discussions with no evidence whatsoever. Anyway, Bill O'Reilly is here with his take on that and much more. Don't forget, Bill's new book is out and doing. By the way, what is your book number 4? You've been on the list for how many weeks now?
Yeah, Killing ESS, been on 15 weeks, I believe. And I appreciate you reading it, Andy. And that was really nice of you. I know how busy you are.
No, I've read the whole book cover to cover. I learned
a
lot.
You're the busiest guy in the country.
Thanks a lot, Bill. I really I'm trying to rest, but it's a little hard. Let me ask you specifically. Yeah. Let's go into where this all started and how it evolved in the New York Times over the weekend and how. You know, because to me, this is right and wrong. This isn't left or right. This isn't Republican or Democrat. But
well, this is American. This is a real threat to our republic. So the story that broke Friday night, printed in the New York Times newspaper on Saturday, was written by three people: Adam Goldman, Michael Schmidt, and Nicholas Fandos. Okay, now all three of them have a track record of despising Donald Trump. So everybody should know that right away. All right, these aren't friendly or fair reporters. This piece was planted. You've heard that phrase, I'm sure, that you plant stories. Both parties do it. They give to favorable reporters a scenario they want to see to damage somebody. And obviously, this is the headline is obvious. FBI opened inquiry into whether Trump was secretly working on behalf of Russia. Can't get more sensational than that. You cannot. So that headline damns the president of the United States. If you read the article, there's, as you pointed out, not one shred of evidence to back up the headline. When I was in Boston University 45 years ago, our first class said, you cannot put a story out unless you have evidence the story is true. These reporters have no evidence. They took anonymous sources, as they always do. The quote is, according to former law enforcement officials and others familiar with the investigation. That could be anyone.
Bill, you do know that Kevin Brock, former assistant director of intelligence at the FBI, he pointed out it's not the agency's job to investigate an administration's foreign policy stance. There was an article on the Hill quoting a former, real quotes, not anonymous sources, saying the New York Times report shows FBI employees were all working outside DOJ guidelines. And then you add to that Rod Rosenstein literally wanting to put a wire on and tape the president, which I guess after you get away with the FISA warrants, why wouldn't you try that?
Well, the article itself is inherently dishonest and never should have been published if the editors at the New York Times had any standards, which they do not. Remember, there is an industry that includes the New York Times, Washington Post, cable networks, and network news that is basically in business to destroy Trump. So they're not looking for the truth. They're not trying to inform the American people. They want him out.
But Bill, okay, Bill, so let me ask you this, though. Isn't it almost all print, all networks, all cable, except for a couple of shows on Fox?
Yeah, I would say it's national media. I would say 85% of the national media is in business now to remove the president. I think that's accurate. But when you go back to this article and you read the article, which is almost impossible to read, a couple of things do emerge. The leak came out of either the Judiciary or Oversight Committees, because these three reporters got to see private sworn testimony by James Baker, the counsel to the FBI. They saw it. Now, the leaker didn't give them the testimony, didn't copy it and give them, that'd be a federal crime. They saw it, which means they were shown it. And in that testimony, Baker said, yeah, some people wanted to investigate Trump on counter-espionage. Who were the people? We don't know. It had to be okayed by McCabe. Andrew McCabe had to be. He was in charge of the FBI. It had to be sanctioned by Rod Rosenstein and by the Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Had to be. FBI agents just don't initiate an investigation by themselves.
Well, let me backtrack.
They have to go through a chain of command.
The same people, the same cast of characters, were the same people that signed off on the dossier. Now,
yes, it's the same crew that did this. But what's important is that Goldman, Schmidt, and Fandos, the three reporters, never even went for comment to McCabe or to Sessions or Rosenstein. Never asked them whether there was an investigation in the first place and why.
Let's look at the timeline. The timeline is you have an unverified, uncorroborated, Clinton bought and paid for Russian, interestingly enough, dossier, not verified, not corroborated, used as the basis to spy on a Trump campaign associate. Now, as Greg Jarrett pointed out, it was a great column out today, over the 10 intervening months from July until May the next year, Lisa Page, Peter Strzok, James Comey, and others, they admitted under oath they didn't have any corroboration whatsoever. In other words, nothing in the dossier was corroborated, nor did they have any evidence, and these are their words, not mine, whatsoever that pointed to any Trump-Russia collusion. None, zero, no evidence.
Well, McCabe and Comey were fired, as was Strzok and Page. All four of them were fired. But all four of them were responsible for this New York Times headline, whether there was an investigation into Trump's secretly working on behalf of Russia. Now, let's just get a little humor into this. You and I both know Trump for what, decades? Is there any possibility on the face of this earth that Donald Trump would work for Russia?
No. There's none.
Okay. There is no possibility. There is nothing in it for him. Okay? It's so absurd for those people who actually know the man, know his business, know how he conducted his life. When I read the article, I almost laughed.
All right, quick break, right back. More with Bill O'Reilly on the other side. Hannity tonight at 9 o'clock. We're going to break all of this down and simplify what can get complicated, but the biggest, phoniest story ever advanced, I think, in my lifetime, and there's been plenty of them, 9 Eastern tonight. All right, as we continue with Bill O'Reilly, author of the bestseller Killing the SS, you do know that the dossier claimed that he was in the Ritz-Carlton in Moscow with two hookers urinating on a bed. He's the biggest germphobe in the history of mankind.
The dossier has been discredited. If there was a shred of evidence to it, if anything about it were true, it would have been out by now.
Right.
All right? They tried and tried and tried, all right, and it would have been out. So that's dumb. But this is Friday. This is Friday. This is the New York Times with this headline, "Is Trump Secretly Working on Behalf of Russia?" I mean, this is just insane. And I want to get across to
Americans. All right, but Bill, you're saying it's insane.
This is dangerous.
Exactly.
It's dangerous.
This is a threat.
You have a media now allying with a political party, the Democrats, to destroy a president of the United States. Now, if Donald Trump did anything, committed a felony, worked for anybody he shouldn't have worked for as a government official, I want him destroyed. Okay? If that's true, he doesn't deserve to be president. But you cannot, in a free nation, continue to read articles like this that have no information, anonymously sourced, obviously planted, and trying to cast the president in the worst possible light they can. Where is the responsibility of this newspaper?
Bill, I've said for years now, in my opinion, journalism in America is dead. I think
this is really dangerous because the people have very few outlets to rely upon anymore.
Let me ask you that.
Shrinking down.
Bill, you watch it, you read it, you see it. It's breathlessness. It's hysteria. And it's they're creating a, if you will, a false belief, a false story, no evidence behind it. But they're telling everybody that this president's going to be impeached because of Trump-Russia collusion.
Yeah, it's a very interesting thing happened. We're zeroing in on it tonight on BillO'Reilly.com. Carl, the White House correspondent for ABC News, not a friend of President Trump, all right? John Carl.
Yeah, Jonathan Carl, I have the tape. You want me to play it? I'll play it.
Yeah, go.
But what I am getting is that this is all building up to the Mueller report and raising expectations of a bombshell report. And there have been expectations that have been building, of course, for over a year on this. But people who are closest to what Mueller has been doing, who have interacted with the special counsel, caution me that this report is almost certain to be anticlimactic. That if you look at what the FBI was investigating in that New York Times report, look at what they were investigating, Mueller did not go anywhere with that investigation. He has been writing his report in real time through these indictments, and we have seen nothing from Mueller on the central question of, was there any coordination, collusion with the Russians in the effort to meddle in the elections? Or was there even any knowledge on the part of the president or anybody in his campaign with what the Russians were doing?
I mean, that's Jonathan Carl. I don't know what the outcome is going to be. I suspect the worst with Mueller based on the team he picked.
Look, for Jonathan Carl to say that, he said two things there when you cut through all the verbiage. Number one, the article's a fraud in the New York Times. That Mueller knew from the jump that this was garbage and stayed away from it. That's the headline on the New York Times. Number two, that in this overall report, Mueller does not have any evidence of collusion. That's what Carl is saying. Now, he's an insider. He's a Washington guy. You got to assume he's got sources inside the Mueller investigation. Now, why is Carl saying that? Is he's getting nervous because ABC News is up to its eyebrows in this, and they're starting to back away. That's the first crack.
Anyway, Bill O'Reilly, his best-selling book on Amazon.com, bookstores everywhere, Killing the SS. Bill, good to talk to you. Thanks for your insight as always. We appreciate you being with us. And BillO'Reilly.com if you want to check out his webcast. Thank you.
Thanks for having me in, Sean.
800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. News Roundup, Information Overload. Got a lot of other. The advancement of socialism. That's what we're going to get to next. Straight ahead.
I believe the moral character of the United States is at stake. So for me, it wasn't a question of whether I should go down there. If we have to have a rapid response. And I think every day that we go on, especially a day when something that heinous happens, we have to occupy all of it. We need to occupy every airport. We need to occupy every border. We need to occupy every ICE office until those kids are back with their parents.
We are a nation that will not stop until every child is born with the opportunity to go to college or trade school free of cost.
The ideas that we campaigned on, which a few years ago were seen to be radical ideas, are now mainstream ideas because of your support. I thank all of you for the support you gave me and for being part of a political revolution which is sweeping this country.
I'm Kevin Phillips with Campus Reform. Today we're in Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's congressional district talking to her supporters about democratic socialism. Is it any different from regular socialism, and who's going to pay for all this free stuff? Let's see what they have to say. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, just elected, 28 years old, self-proclaimed democratic socialist, which has a lot of people talking. What are your views on her so far?
I've heard only positive things.
We love her.
Yeah, we do love her. I voted for her because I'm from Queens.
It was great. It's a breath of fresh air, and I hope it follows through into November.
I like her spirit and that she's very different.
People tend to freak out when they hear the word socialism, like, applied to anything.
And why do you think that is?
I think there's this old way of thinking about it.
What do you think the government should be subsidizing? So her platform includes free health care, college tuition, the minimum living wage, housing as a human right. Are those things that you think the government should be providing for people?
Absolutely.
Are those things that you would support?
Yes, it is.
Are those all things that you would support the government subsidizing?
100%.
I feel like everyone should have, like, free education and health care.
How are we going to pay for those?
Oh, God. I mean...
Us,
yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Who, in your mind, should pay for all of the free things?
All of the free things? Well, some of it should come from taxes, but the government should pay for it.
But the government is funded by taxes.
Yeah.
I don't know where the money would come from, but they can figure it out.
Okay. More taxes on the rich people.
Yeah, for sure, man. Like, they can afford it.
Let's tax corporations, let's tax the 1%, and find a way to support a living wage.
The people with a good idea and a good reason to spend their tax money wouldn't mind actually paying more taxes.
There are so many of these countries out there that are employing a lot more socialism in their government and into their politics, and they're doing really well. So,
is Venezuela doing that?
Ooh, I don't know too much about Venezuela, honey. I think they need to... I mean, are they still communists right now?
So like, they're technically socialist.
Okay.
Look at other countries. It works. Like other countries, you pay higher taxes, but your government takes care of you.
So when you see the social system failing in Venezuela, does that concern you?
I mean...
Yeah.
Yes.
Obviously.
My family's Cuban, and like I've seen the downfall of like extreme leftism, but also like I see how it like boosts the community, and like it has its up and downs, and I think we can definitely learn from history on that terms.
Okay. Our country needs change, and if it has to be on the opposite side, on the extreme polar opposite side, maybe it's what we need.
Privatized healthcare is a huge issue, and if it was a government funded thing, that would be, you know, when there aren't...
Do you think the government would run it more efficiently?
In a perfect world, sure.
I'm liberal. I don't know exactly, like, where I'd stand, but I know, like, democratic socialist is better than conservative. It's just better than... It's the better option.
In what way?
When I think of it, I just think of, like, more open-minded people, people that aren't, like, as economically conserved...
All right, there you have it. That was Campus Reform talking to students. Yeah, for sure, man. Let's take their money. Let's just take it, you know? Yeah, like we...
I thought it was more like this.
I know.
And
then before that, Ocasio-Cortez. She's the new rock star, by the way, of the Democratic Party. All right, so these stories today, and by the way, News Roundup, Information Overload, we'll get to your calls coming up here. 800-941-SHAWN is our number. So you have Comrade Bill de Blasio of New York complaining yesterday that too much of the city's wealth... He actually said these words, are in the wrong hands. Okay. How did that happen? Did somebody steal it? Did somebody get it in a corrupt fashion? Did somebody work for it? And then he suggested seizing private property to solve the city's rent crisis. Literally seize it, steal it, government takeover. I mean, they did that in Cuba when Fidel Castro came to power. And literally, land was stolen from everybody. Anyway, so the comments come. We got de Blasio joining the list of radical socialists that are, you know, putting their toes in the water and testing a potential presidential run, although it's looking like the country maybe he wants to run as Venezuela, because that's what they do there in a socialist country. Anyway, so he portrayed himself as the protector of the working class and literally said he might as well have said comrade. He goes, brothers and sisters, there's plenty of money in the world. There's plenty of money in this city. It's just in the wrong hands, he said. By the way, de Blasio owns two homes and gets $258,750 a year as mayor. But put that aside, you know, he's the mayor. He gets a free house. You haven't been paid what you deserve for all the hard work. You haven't been given the time you deserve. You're not living the life you deserve. And here is the cold, hard truth. It's no accident. It's an agenda. And then he blamed Republican presidential administrations from Reagan to Trump. And then the mayor literally proposed initiatives to level the playing field between people that have money and don't have money, such as seizing buildings from bad landlords. Who gets to decide if you're a bad landlord? Expanding, he said, the Center of Consumer Affairs to include worker protection, offering medical care to 300,000 undocumented workers. Well, who's going to pay for that? And so he's looking for a vacancy tax on landlords if they can't rent their property, which sometimes happens. And then he wants to wrestle away the money of people that... Now, look, if we're talking about drug dealers, Yeah, I'm all for confiscating the money from their ill-gotten gains. That makes sense to me. But people that get up, work hard, you know, there are people that actually get up at 4 or 5 a.m. every day, and then they don't stop working until 9 o'clock at night. There are people that do that. There are other people that maybe work 3 days a week, 5 hours a day, and that's all they want to work. Some people in this environment, the economic environment we're in, we almost have complete unemployment. We have a million more jobs available in the country than we have people on unemployment. That's a good thing. That means people can advance their careers. And by the way, more jobs are in the pipeline. The president's policies on oil are going to produce many hundreds of thousands of high-paying career jobs that people then will radically increase their standard of living. That'll give them truck drivers. Remember, in North Dakota, we're making $100,000 a year driving trucks with oil in them. And they got free training. And for a period, they even got free housing because the need was so great. Now that America is the biggest oil producer in the world, we haven't even gotten the two pipelines, the Keystone XL pipeline, the Dakota pipeline, on track yet, nor have we started drilling in Anwar, one of the biggest open reserves ever. America's going to have more of those jobs. If we continue our natural gas production, we can provide energy for every one of our allies so they're not dependent on Putin or Saudi Arabia with all the instability in the Middle East. It would be great. So this is now the beginning. This is what the Democratic Party represents. Hating Trump, and now it's not the party of, you know, Joe Lieberman is in a fight, believe it or not, with Ocasio-Cortez right now. She hates him. And anyway, Gavin Newsom out in, you got to watch Gavin Newsom. Gavin Newsom is going to be an indicator of all things left where this country is headed. He now wants a tax on drinking water, as if the 13.5% state income tax on top of the federal income tax, on top of the, you know, Social Security taxes, on top of property taxes, on top of gas taxes, on top of sales taxes. Now he wants to tax drinking water. I mean, okay, and then when you die after you pay taxes on all that, then these states and the federal government come in and take 50% of what you have left, but some liberals say that they should take 90%. Oh, you shouldn't be able to donate that money to charity, take care of your family, or whatever it happens to be. That's Gavin Newsom's big, big proposal out in California. Now it gets worse. Back to New York for a second. You have Comrade de Blasio. He wants free vision checks and eyeglasses for every school child. Well, don't they? What don't we provide? We provide breakfast, lunch, is dinner next? I mean, at what point do we want the government, every time you rely on government to take care of what you think is a need, every single time you are giving up liberty, you are giving up freedom, and you are handing power over to people that want you dependent. And you've got to understand that freedom goes away very quickly. He wants to seize buildings from landlords. He wants to literally everybody, documented, undocumented, just like Gavin Newsom. Gavin Newsom put up a sign basically saying, if you're sick, come to California. Everybody, legal, illegal, doesn't matter, gets free health care.
We're committed to launching a Marshall Plan for affordable housing, and we'll lift up the fight against homelessness from a local matter to a statewide mission. In our home, every person should have access to quality, affordable health care. Faraway judges and politicians may turn back our progress, but we will never waver in our pursuit of guaranteed health care for all Californians.
Watch Gavin Newsom closely. He wants to be president. There's my prediction. Not that hard to witness. All right, so who pays for all the health care for illegal immigrants? Now, we already have some statistics on what we pay for illegal immigration, about $70,000 per illegal immigrant. Well, where does that money come from? It comes from the American taxpayers. Why? Because we don't have secure borders. You know, we've got more stories out on immigration today. And by the way, Ocasio-Cortez, she's attacking Joe Lieberman. Now, Joe Lieberman and I agreed on a lot of national security issues, but Joe is not a conservative. He ran with Al Gore. And, you know, a nice guy, but literally, she's mocking his age. She's, you know, and he's saying, I hope she's not the future of the Democratic Party. What they are now setting up here, what they're now setting up is an America that is a socialist utopia that we will never, ever, ever be able to afford. It is, what is government run correctly? Think about it. All right, I think the military's probably our greatest success. Social Security, it's on a trajectory to bankruptcy. Medicare, same thing. And this is where they want to take the country. Oh, and Governor Cuomo refuses to sign a state budget until lawmakers approve a bill legalizing abortion for any reason until birth. You know, what does that mean? 24 hours before you're due, you can say, I've decided I'm not going to have this baby. Is that not viable inside of a woman at that point? People can argue about 1 to 3 months. Now it's 9 months. This is how radical this party has become. All right, as we continue the Sean Hannity Show. By the way, a new migrant caravan is forming in Honduras, and even ahead of its scheduled departure, they're leaving on Tuesday, tomorrow, and we'll watch that happen. And the government stays shut down. What is it? Day 24 of the government shutdown. And Trump tweets about the border last night. And the question is, we now pointed out, we did a show Friday night with Angel Moms and Dads. I think they're going to be in Washington tomorrow. But, you know, these people that lost their loved ones, well, that's permanent separation. There was all indignation and outrage about separation of kids. But it was Donald Trump who fixed the policy of Obama and even Bush. The Mexican death toll in 2 days of gang violence now has reached 29 in an article that came out today. And now we also have, you know, Pelosi and the Democratic leadership. They don't want to negotiate, even with the president offering to put everything on the table, DACA, Dreamers, all the things they supposedly want. And what's the reason? Simple. Donald Trump wants it. It's bad, even though they supported it all in the past, all of it. Now, moving forward, as you got now taxes on water, confiscating property, free health care for all. I mean, this is the new radical, hate Trump, socialist Democratic Party. You know, now the House Democrats, they want gun control with a firearm registry, an article on Breitbart. It's unenforceable without the registry. And this is now where we're headed. All right, when we come back. That is the advance of socialism. Hannity Watch update for the day. When we get back, we'll hit the phones. 800-941-SEAN is our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. All right, 25 now till the top of the hour. We're going to hit our phones. Ethan wants to weigh in on something. What is on your mind there, sir, as we march towards socialism?
Well, it's just funny that de Blasio...
By the way, he wants to... You make enough money on this show, with all due respect, that he's one of the people that he wants to take some of your money.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
Kylie's money and Jason's money and definitely Linda.
Yeah.
No, he can't take my money.
Oh, yeah. You're going to stop it?
Oh, I'll stop him.
Oh, how are you going to stop him?
Well, he barely shows up for work, so I'll just go in and pretend to be mayor.
Oh, you'll just pretend to be mayor.
Absolutely.
No, the bottom line is.
I identify as Mayor de Blasio.
You're wrong. As he said, the wealth is in the wrong hands.
For decades, working people have done their share. For decades, working people have gotten more and more productive. At the same time, they've gotten a smaller and smaller share of the wealth they create. Here's the truth. Brothers and sisters, there's plenty of money in the world. There's plenty of money in this city. It's just in the wrong hands. My fellow New Yorkers, when a landlord tries to push out a tenant by making their home unlivable, a team of inspectors and law enforcement agents will be on the ground in time to stop it. We'll use every tool we have. We'll fine the landlords, we'll penalize the landlords, but if the fines and the penalties don't cut it, we will seize their buildings. Yes. And we will put them in the hands of a community nonprofit that will treat tenants with the respect they deserve.
If they make a law to redistribute and take 80% of your money, guess what? You're either going to pay that bill or you're going to go to jail.
You know what he should do since he feels so strongly about that? Right. Now we'll let Ethan get to his comment.
I'm glad you're happy about an 80% confiscation.
Tax Amazon. Him and Governor Cuomo.
I wasn't done yet. You know, the TUI is are really a problem. Nobody ever finishes a thought around here.
I was claiming my time.
Good God
almighty. What I was going to say was...
I have to swear about
since
it.
Since I have... Oh, listen, if the FCC wasn't listening, this would be a completely different show. But all of that to say, our president, President Trump... He does not take a salary. Do you know that? He does not take a salary to help the American people. So I think that de Blasio and Cuomo, I mean, they are American patriots, right? They want to give back to the people. I challenge them to not take a salary. Cuomo, don't take a salary. De Blasio, don't take a salary. Donate it to the New York citizens.
Well, you know, with all if liberals wanted, they could raise money for the government employees that are they're all going to get their money.
No. Let's just stick to New York for a minute.
OK, but the furloughed employees, they could take up money and raise money for them.
But let them donate their salaries. No, I challenge them.
Liberals,
but wait. Go ahead, Ethan. What were you going to say?
Whoa. Liberals are only generous with other people's money.
That's why it's called a challenge.
Well, number one, if you're going to talk about the furloughed people. The Democrats wanted to eliminate ICE and Border Patrol before the midterms. Talk about not having a paycheck. They wouldn't have a career for the rest of their lives. But going back to de Blasio and Cuomo, they gave billions of dollars away to Amazon, the number one largest company in the world, to entice
Correct.
Them. Meanwhile, they're going to take away storefronts from, you know, not as wealthy business people. Are you kidding me?
There are people complaining. Now, listen, I'll be honest. There is a certain unfairness. If you're going to give Amazon... $1 trillion in tax breaks, which by I'm happy for the people in New York. It's actually in Queens, Long Island City.
Let me inform you. Amazon will create 25,000 to 40,000 new jobs.
Right.
It will invest more than $3.6 billion over 15 years. And Cuomo and de Blasio fully support this. They get $14 billion in new tax revenue for the state. And $13.5 billion in city tax revenue.
Well, let me say this. I want the jobs for the people. And it's weird how, you know, all of a sudden people that own property there, they're all making a ton of money because they're going to need the property for workers, apartments, and all that sort of thing. And
then not if de Blasio takes it.
But here's the thing. No, but then de Blasio comes in. What about all the businesses that are here that pay all their taxes? Why does Bezos, the billionaire, well, soon to be a lot less rich billionaire, apparently had no prenup. How does Bezos get that tax, you know, benefit? I love the jobs coming to New York. It's smart to not tax business because then you incentivize them to come here. One of the big platform issues that I liked about Trump was when he said all this money that all these corporations, they all park it overseas because they don't want to pay the taxes. And he's allowing them to repatriate that money so that they can invest in factories, manufacturing centers in America, which I think has been a pretty big part of the success in the economy, the job creation, the growth in GDP, all the things, the lowest unemployment for African Americans, Asian Americans, Hispanic Americans, women in the workplace, you know, youth unemployment. That's because we're incentivizing them. Why do we hate business? Why do people hate business? Business creates two things, goods or services that you either want, need, or desire, or you don't. Now, if a business is not successful, and there are plenty of people that invest in businesses that are not successful, but they take a shot and they lose. But if they're successful, that means they're producing something, a good, a service that somebody wants, needs, or desires. That's it. Apple's successful because they have a great phone. And they, you know, I'm constantly up. They got another phone and another version and another version. And every time I want the new version. So I throw out the old phone.
Why do you want the new version?
Because
you barely know how to work the old version.
It doesn't matter. I just like the new version.
Why?
Want new because I just do.
So nonsensical.
I just got a new phone.
I'm fully aware of that. Why?
Because I like the new version, the 10.
What do you like about it?
It's better.
Oh, is it? What's better about it?
Everything. You could. I'll give.
Everything.
I'll give you one feature. If you if you downloaded the new update to it, you can now do FaceTime with multiple people.
So the new phone already has a new update.
You didn't think that I knew that.
You don't even like FaceTiming.
No, I hate FaceTiming because I look like crap.
So why are you so excited about it?
Well, you said you were suggesting that I didn't know anything about...
You know one thing, and it's a feature you don't use.
I FaceTime occasionally, but not very much. It's just not my thing. I don't even want to be on my phone anymore. Phone is annoying.
That's why you want a new one?
No, just...
The entire conversation is like talking to a liberal. It makes no sense.
All right, let's go to Don in Lake Ronkonkoma, our good friend. What's up, Big Don? How are you? Welcome aboard, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me on. You know, I all weekend long I thought about your show Friday night on Hannity with those angel parents who had to bury their children way before their time. You know, and you know, anyone who doesn't support America's wall is evil, Sean. With all the facts, with all the figures that you gave during that broadcast alone, anybody who doesn't support that is out of their minds.
It's a fair question, Don. Here's the question. How many more officers need to be killed like the officer in California? You know, Officer Singh. How many how many more, like we had the mom and dad, December 29th.
29th.
Okay. DJ, Wendy, they lost their son, Pierce Corcoran. How many more of those people have to die? How many more kids are going to OD on heroin? Because 90% is crossing our border. How many more young girls are going to be human trafficked into this country the way that's been happening?
Yeah.
I mean, I sound like the traditional liberal because I care about human life. I don't want drugs in towns and cities in America. I want to protect officers, protect kids. And all we're asking is to do it legally so we can vet you and make sure that you're not going to be... You know, a burden on the American people. You know, look at how much we pay billions and billions and billions over the years on our educational system, our criminal justice system, healthcare system.
Yep. You know, one of those mothers produced a picture of 330 miles of split rail fence in Arizona. What a joke. And then you had another of those precious women saying that she tried to call Nancy Pelosi to give her ideas.
Yeah, she never took her call.
Thing. And her staff wouldn't even let her talk to Ms. Pelosi, Congresswoman Pelosi. They put her to a voicemail. These Democrat leadership, they simply do not care. But the figures that you gave, Sean, are just overwhelming. 100,000.
There's thousands.
Yeah.
All right, Don.
That was just one show, Sean.
I literally, my heart was broken all weekend like yours. All right, Big Don, thank you. Leslie's in Tennessee. Leslie, how are you?
Hey, Sean, I'm doing great. I just want to thank you for all that you do.
Thank you.
I watched your show Friday night, too, and I could have been one of those angel moms. My daughter was a heroin addict. She got some heroin laced with fentanyl, took 3 rounds of Narcan.
How long ago was this?
It was about 6 months ago.
By the way, Narcan is used if you OD on heroin.
OD. Mm-hmm.
It'll save your life.
Yes. And she is. She finally called us to go and get her out of Orlando. She turned herself into the county, spent 3 months in jail. They're giving her an opportunity to do a faith-based program. She's at the Women of the Well.
How old is your daughter?
She's 28.
How long has she been addicted?
7 years. And I have a son.
Listen, I'm going to tell you, the odds are not good. Once you're addicted to that crap, the odds are low.
But Sean, and I say that, but as a born-again Christian, this program has a success rate of 95.
That's great. When we need to duplicate that all around the country, what were you going to say about your son?
My son is going to serve 6 years in federal prison.
He's going to jail.
He's going to jail for trafficking.
For trafficking heroin?
Yeah, and actually meth.
And was he addicted to drugs too?
Yes, heroin, meth. He's had Narcan a couple of times. But they have both accepted Jesus Christ. They were raised that way. They just walked away from it. He has dedicated his life. He could have gotten 25 to life.
What was the age in their gateway drug?
pot.
And how old were they?
Keith started smoking pot about 14. He's 34.
Did they then, when they first, before they became addicted to heroin and meth, did they do like Percocet, Vicodin, OxyContin? Is that where they got started with the pain pills and the opioids?
I think so, yes. Courtney had an injury, but we found out that she was doing crack when she was 15.
Oh, my gosh.
And she wound up getting injured at work and got on pain pills. And
Why was she working and not in school at 15?
Well, no, not at 15. She was like 21, 22. And but she's lost everything. She's lost the custody of her daughter. But she is, we got to see her Saturday. She is on fire for the Lord. She's really working hard. She won't graduate until 20, probably January of 20, March of 20. But you had that, I'm kind of nervous, but the guy whose son had died, I've been trying to get a hold of you since you had him on the air.
Pierce Corcoran's dad?
No. The guy from Fox News.
Oh, okay. Eric Bowling's son, yeah.
Eric Bowling's son. Because
19 years old, he bought a Xanax. His name is Chase. He was 19 years old, Boulder, Colorado. He bought a Xanax that was laced with fentanyl.
Yes. But I just need people to understand that these faith-based programs work. This one that Courtney has had is totally, completely supported by donations and churches.
We all pray for you. We pray for your family. I hope your son takes these 6 years and uses them productively and can come out and change his life. I hope your daughter is able to beat this addiction. It's very, very difficult to beat. And I'm sure you're living through hell every day wondering if your kids are going to live or die. It's terrible. And it is an insidious epidemic that is all over the country. And lives are literally ruined every day. Precious American kids targeted. They target these kids. All right, Hannity tonight, 10 Eastern, the deep state attempted coup of the president. We have Newt Gingrich, Jay Sekulow, Mark Meadows tonight, also Greg Jarrett, Mark Penn, Sean Spicer, and Ari Fleischer. So here's the question. How is it possible that the FBI investigates 9 months, finds nothing? They all say they found nothing. Comey said he found nothing. Comey gets fired, and they come up with a bizarre, paranoid conspiracy theory. And guess what? None of it's true. We'll break down what the mainstream media never will. Hannity, 9 Eastern tonight, Fox News Channel, set your DVR. Tuesday edition, Sean Hannity Show. Carter Page weighs in on FISA abuse. We'll have the latest on the FBI's conspiracy theory against Donald Trump and much more. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you tonight at 9, back here tomorrow.